Welcome to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. Our guest speaker from South Africa is here again to share more insight into the music industry and its effects on our mind. Today we'll begin to take a look at the Christian music scene and compare it to the worldly music scene, looking at its differences and similarities. Brian Newman has lectured around the world teaching biblical principles on music and worship. He spent a large part of his life in the rock music industry, and his experience has led him to take a more closer look at that music scene he was once a part of, and now teaches Christians how to discern good and bad music by providing historical, biblical, and present-day information on music. Now, here's Brian.
Welcome once again to Voices of a Dying Planet series. We are continuing in our study into the language of music, both in its secular and, of course, its worship environment as well. And today we are going to start focusing more specifically on the issue of worship and to try and find out whether what we are dealing with in our present situation in the so-called Christian world today really conforms to the biblical criteria of worship to God, of witnessing for God, of doing things, as it were, in the name of Jesus. I would like to start off by looking at a bit of scripture, and we want to start off by going to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 and 16, 18, and verses 21 to 23, to establish some very, very important biblical principles. If you're reading verse 15, Christ is speaking here to his disciples, and he says to them, he gives them a kind of a warning. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So he's saying they look like the real thing. They look like they're in the sheep's clothing. In other words, they look pure on the outside, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, of course, the question may be asked is, well, then how do I know if this sheep, this person, whoever may be, comes to me, professes the name of Jesus, seems to be a Christian, how am I going to know if this is the real thing or not? Well, Jesus doesn't leave us in darkness. He explained it very clearly to the disciples when he said in verse 16, "You will know them by their fruits." And you will remember this text, we've been sharing it for our last two or three sessions. You will know them by their fruits. In other words, it will be manifest either in the way of life or something they say, what they do. The fruits of their experience will testify. And then he asks the question, he says, "Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Where are they picking the fruit from? As we have, the question, of course, that we have posed so many times already. In verse 18, he says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit." So if it truly is a prophet of God, somebody who is doing something truly in the name of God, the character, everything that is manifest in the life of that person will show that it is a good tree, and as a result, the fruit that will be born will be good fruit. Christ went on to say, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. If it's a bad tree, sooner or later the fruits are going to show that this is not from God. You will know then that it is a wolf dressed up in sheep's clothing. In verse 21, Christ shares a very important principle. He says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven." Not everybody who comes to me and says, "Lord, you know, I know you. Can I come into the kingdom of heaven?" He says, no, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But, and here's the qualification, he says, "but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." How do we know what the will of the Father is? How do we know if we're doing his will? Somebody may say, well, I love my fellow man. Is it enough just to profess love? Is it enough? Or somebody may say, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Is that enough? James says, even the demons believe and they tremble. It is not just enough to profess. You may be in the act of just professing the belief and the name of Jesus, you may very well just be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The fruits have to testify. The only way to know the will of the Father is by studying the Word of God. In the Scriptures we find the truth. Jesus says, the Scriptures are those which testify of me. So it is in the Scriptures that we find out what the truth is. In fact, in verses 22, Jesus goes on to say, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And that could mean preaching in your name. That's another interpretation of the word to prophesy. It means to preach. Prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. It may be that it was apparently casting out demons. The fact of the matter is that the people come and say, we did it in your name, and yet in spite of the fact that they preached in his name, cast out demons in his name, and did many miracles in his name, Christ turns around to them and says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Well, the old King James Bible says, you who work iniquity. What is iniquity? Well, for those who understand the terminology, you will know that iniquity is sin. What is sin? Well, according to 1 John, John says there that sin is the transgression of the law. Hence, in this translation, it says, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is those who are doing things in his name, are not truly doing it in his name, are not truly his children, if they have not conformed to the will of the Father, as he stated in verses 21, and who are not living a life that is in conformity to the law and the testimony. That means the Scriptures. If you read the Bible in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 20, Isaiah writes there, he says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So it has to be in accordance with the law and the testimony. What was the law and the testimony? If you spoke about the law and the testimony, as Isaiah did in his day, the Jew would immediately understand that the law was the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and the testimony was the testimony of the prophets. In other words, it was the Scripture that the life of the person had to conform to. If it didn't, it clearly says in Scripture there is no light in them. What is the light? Well, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. The whole Bible is really a testimony about Jesus Christ, as revealed in the law and the testimony of the prophets. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 17, speaking about the same concept, and here it speaks about the end of time. John is speaking about the remnant, those who are God's end time people. He says that the dragon is wroth, and the dragon, of course, we know to be Satan, is wroth with the woman, of course, the church, and goes to make war with the remnant of her seed. And then it says, they are those who keep the commandments of God, in other words, his law, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That means their lives conform to the Scriptures, to the law and the testimony. And what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Revelation 19 verse 10 puts it very clearly when it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The message of the prophets given in the Bible and the law are the parameters that will define the character of God's people. Their lives will be in accordance with his word. If it is not, it is because there is no light in them. The word, what is the word? Speaking about the word, if we're going to say the word of God, well, the word is that which was made flesh and dwelt among us, which was Jesus Christ, of which the Bible writes, the one who in the beginning made all things and through whom all things were made. The very first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, immediately refers to the word, which is Jesus Christ. It says, in the beginning, God created. Who was the God that created? Well, if we go back to John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through him all things were made. And then it goes on later on to say that the Word was made flesh and came to dwell amongst us. which of course we know to be Jesus Christ. So it is absolutely clear from the evidence of Scripture, and even Jesus, by the way, when he revealed himself to the two disciples on the road from Emmaus, it records very clearly in Matthew and in other portions of Scripture as well, in the Gospels, that he revealed to them. In fact, if you go to the book of Luke, and we could turn in our Bibles there to the book of Luke very quickly, take you to the book of Luke chapter 24. It says there in verses 27 of chapter 24 in Luke, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says, "And beginning at Moses and the prophets," that means the law and the prophets, "he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So Jesus understood that he was revealed through the scriptures, through the writings of the Bible, the law and the prophets. He was the light that is revealed in the scriptures. The Bible speaks about Jesus as being the word, the logos in the Greek, the divine expression, which is expressed through the Word of God in its written form, in Christ himself, in the flesh, as he dwelt in this world and walked in this world. He revealed the character of God to those around him. When he appeared in the upper room, after his resurrection, after he was on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, it says in verse 44 of the same chapter, "He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." That's the scriptures. And then it goes on to say, "And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." So it's absolutely imperative that those who claim to be children of God, that those who are doing something in the name of God, whether it be miracles, whether it be good works, no matter what it may be, that they conform to the standard, because this will be the fruit, as it were, which will testify if this is from God or if this is a wolf dressed up, as it were, in sheep's clothing. And so when we look at the contemporary Christian music scene, what is happening in that industry, we need to ask ourselves the imperative questions, the important questions is, does it conform to the law and the testimony? In other words, does it conform to the directives that are given in Scripture? One of the greatest problems today which lie behind false worship, false forms of music that are done in the name of God, is of course indeed false doctrine, because we get our doctrine and teaching from the Word of God. The word doctrine means teaching. And a false concept of God. Today people don't even understand who God is. Today people treat God like the buddy that lives next door, the guy around the corner on the block who you can just kind of treat like a regular friend. Of course it is true, having said that, it is true that Jesus is our friend. But he is more than just a friend. He is the God of the universe. In fact, John, who was the disciple, who when Jesus was on this earth, walking on this earth, he was the disciple which was closest to Jesus, who was indeed, as it were, a friend to a friend, the two of them together, the one whom Jesus loved so much. But yet, when Jesus appeared to him in his vision, in Revelation, for example, what did he do? Did he run up to Jesus and say, "Hey, good buddy, it's good to see you again," and treat him like he would have treated the friend next door? No, he fell down before him and worshipped him as the king of the universe. But today our concept of God has been totally turned around. God is certainly a God of love. He is certainly our friend. But he's also the powerful, awesome ruler of this universe who deserves reverence and respect. And if we can understand who God is and view God from that perspective, we will have a better idea of how to worship God in our music and in our praise. Because we have an understanding of who God is, which means then we will be able to worship God in the spirit and in the understanding also. The understanding of who he is, and in the spirit, the Holy Spirit motivating and guiding our worship. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. The Word of God itself said in 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, that is, test the spirits to see if it is from God. There are a lot of people today who would like to say, well, I don't have to read the Bible because the Spirit is telling me what I need to do, and I listen to the Spirit. The Spirit is above the Bible. No, but the Bible itself tells you to test the Spirit to see if it is from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Jesus himself, in the section we just read, he said that beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. It is not enough. And ultimately he went on to say that we will only know truly whether they are from God if their life is in conformity, the fruits are in conformity to the Scriptures. This is the only way to know if it is from God or if it is not. So I'd like to start off, as we start going into the actual contemporary Christian music, the contemporary Christian media scene, and everything else that is available to us today out there in the Christian world, I want to start looking at some of the fruits, which we need to do. The Bible tells us and instructs us to look at the fruits. One thing regarding the music, which is very clear and I guess is no secret to anybody who knows anything about the contemporary Christian music industry, and that is that every form of music that you find in the secular music industry, you can find in the Christian music industry. You will have a counterpart for all the different worldly musicians and the kind of music they play. You will find a counterpart in the Christian music scene. Which, for example, you will have Christian rock. You will have Christian metal, Christian rap, Christian thrash, Christian punk even. You have all different styles, and we'll look at some of them in our program. All of them are represented, which of course gives you the idea that the contemporary Christian music industry does not believe that there is such a thing as bad music. In fact, they will tell you themselves, as will become evident when we study, that the thing that is important here is that Jesus or the gospel is in the music. It doesn't matter then what kind of music you use. It is just a means of reaching people where they are at, as it were, with the kind of music that they are used to listening to. The most important thing is that you present the gospel with it. But when we just studied the language of music in our earlier presentations, and for those of you who were not here or didn't hear it in our earlier presentations over the radio, it would be good to perhaps write and try and find out where you can get those, where you can get copies or cassettes of those earlier presentations. Because we clearly showed that it is not enough for the music to... It's not enough just for the words to say something positive. The music and the words must be compatible with one another. It's pointless singing about Jesus Christ and his love and about those beautiful biblical concepts when the music is sending out a harsh, aggressive message. In other words, the tone and the words are not compatible with one another. When we speak, our tone and words should be compatible. When you'd say to your wife that you love her, or to somebody you care about that you love them, you don't shout it at them, because although the words may be right, the tone of voice is not compatible. So the music must be compatible with the message, the tone, the atmosphere of the music. But if we look at the practice of what is happening in the contemporary Christian music scene, it would suggest perhaps that this really doesn't matter, as long as the words are giving the right message. We need to test and see if this is indeed true, that we can do this, because the music we have been studying and looking at already itself, inherent in the music, irrespective of the words, is something which is actually in conflict with the body temple principle and is destructive to the temple of God. So how can we safely bring that and melt it together, as it were, with a Christian message? Another interesting point is that the contemporary Christian music industry record labels, most of the biggest Christian music record labels are owned or are subsidiary companies of worldly record companies. It makes you wonder who in fact is calling the shots about what kind of music should be used. The worldly record music industry is not really that concerned with spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the evidence is clear from that which we have already looked at in our previous seminars. So the control over the music industry really seems to be coming from somewhere else, not necessarily from God. All of these are fruits that we have to study and look at very carefully. One of the important questions we may have to ask ourselves before we go in our next session, when we start looking into the actual industry itself and what they say and the fruits, as it were, is we need to ask ourselves if Christians should follow the way of the world in spreading the gospel. In other words, using the world to reach the world, giving them that, in other words, which they already have. When you are presenting somebody with a choice, to choose between two things. And I will probably reiterate this point later on again, but if you are giving somebody a choice and saying, now here are two things, what do you choose? What is it that you would like? Two objects. Let's say you're giving somebody a choice between two pieces of paper. You hold up a red piece of paper and a white piece of paper, and you say, which piece of paper would you like? Well, clearly, if they wanted red, they would see, yes, I can see it's red, I'd like the red, and I don't want the white, or whichever way around it may be. But if you hold up two identical white pieces of paper, and you ask them, well, which one do you want? Well, where's the choice in it? When people are bringing the gospel to the world, and you bring them the gospel which is so close to the world in packaging and in presentation and everything else, what kind of choice are you giving the people out there? Is there a clear distinction that they can make between the world and between the gospel? These are very important. In other words, the real essence of the question is, should they, Christians, pick their fruit from the same tree that the world has been picking its fruit? Can men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In our next presentation, we are going to study into this industry and see indeed if this is possible according to what Scripture teaches us and according to the testimony of the industry itself. God bless you, and see you next time.
In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I hope Brian is renewing your mind with these amazing discoveries on music, and that you are proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God revealed to us through His Word. A copy of today's broadcast can be purchased for $7 Canadian by mentioning today's date and calling toll-free at 1-866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. Brian Newman's 7-tape video series is also an excellent resource that Amazing Discoveries is pleased to offer. Filmed live at one of his seminars, Brian presents this music series in a multimedia format with pictures, sounds, and slides, helping you to grasp these important music principles. The 7-part series is available on VHS for $125.68 Canadian plus shipping and handling, or on DVD for $220.50. To place your order over the phone with a major credit card, please call toll-free at 866-572-9457. That's 866-572-9457. You may also purchase these videos by logging on to our website at amazingdiscoveries.org or by writing to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for those in the US, please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Brian will be with us for a couple more weeks as he wraps up his music series, and we invite you to stay with us as he continues tomorrow looking at the Christian music industry. You'll not want to miss these next few lectures, especially for those Christians who are musically inclined and want to learn how to worship God on His terms and His principles. I'm Jason Hernberg, and you've been listening to Faith on the Line. If you've been encouraged with these radio broadcasts, we'd just like to ask for your support to stay on the radio. Your financial support will go directly to the cost of radio airtime. All the speakers that you've been hearing have freely given of their time, and we pray that their efforts are not in vain. Thank you for your prayers and encouragement. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow. You've just been listening to Brian Newman with a song entitled Abide With Me. Brian Newman is touring the US and Canada this fall, sharing his research and insights on music in a number of churches across the country. If you have enjoyed his presentations on the radio, we would greatly appreciate your kind donations to help finance the music series Voices of a Dying Planet, being brought to North America in November. Brian's series have been a blessing to many in the past, and we thank you for being a part of bringing that blessing to others with your donations. Your tax-deductible donations can be sent to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3, or call us at 1-866-572-9457. Again, your donations are tax deductible, and you can even call us with a Visa or MasterCard number for quick processing of your donation. Brian's message is a vital one and needs to go out to all churches around the country. If you are interested in booking Brian Newman for a music series in your church, please call the office at 1-866-572-9457.